Holy Spirit, thank you. We just thank you. This is the day that you've made. We thank you for anointing your word. I thank you that, Lord, it says that we are called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we just thank you that we are going to encounter you on a greater level. We thank you with all of your getting. It says, with all of your getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. So we thank you for a spirit of wisdom and counsel today. We thank you for eyes being opened. We just break slumber. We break mindsets that would shut out the things of the supernatural that are earthbound. And we thank you for encounters in heavenly places. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what we're going to do is that I want to let the Word, the Logos, the Word of God speak. And there's some things in the Bible that a lot of people don't quite get a grasp on, and we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. And I love the Word. And it says in Psalm 119, the psalmist says, because I meditate in your word, I chew over it, I ponder it, I am wiser than all my teachers. And it talks about even surpassing the ancients. And I love the word of God, but hidden in it, the more I read it, the more I realize how much it self-references, and there's just incredible genius. The problem is that we don't really read the Bible properly, and then we look for the next thing. We look for what is God going to do, and it's actually already written down. I love the, who loves the word of God? Seriously, I do. And I don't subscribe to this, if you read it too much, you dry up. The more I stay in the word, the more I get activated. My faith grows and the Lord's able to instruct me. So we've been talking about the oil and the wine in Revelation 6. And we've been talking about heaven's economy. But it's actually said there's going to be genuine scarcity. Now, I said last week that I don't think it's going to be organic. I think it's going to be engineered, okay? It's interesting that a certain administration that came into power last week already 70,000 jobs in a certain area. So there's some engineering going on. Who knows what I'm talking about, Wave? Thank you. And so, because it's important. Now, this is not the what we magnify, but things are moving very, very quickly. Now, I've shared this before, but this is a good way of introduction into the subject. Got a friend in New Zealand who's a prophet, and you go, where's the prophetic? Where is it? It's everywhere. There's God speaking all the time. It really is. Just because someone doesn't put it on social media doesn't mean God's not speaking. Seriously. I'm sure he's speaking to a lot of you guys as well. So we don't have to, maybe there's a construct of the subculture of the prophetic stream, but God's speaking all the time. Can someone say amen? We don't have to go, well, it's not on social media, so it's not happening. That's rubbish. So she runs a church with her husband in Christchurch, and she said, can you interpret this vision for me? And she saw, she was in space, basically, and she saw, I think it was the Father, and what happened, he saw this thing look like a giant atom. And you got the nucleus and all your electrons and all this, and she just knew it was time. And the Father leant across like this, leant over, and he turned, and he's looking at her, and he goes, I'm just making an adjustment. She starts going into a scene where she sees salmon or fish spawning twice in 1 year, fruit trees having two harvests in 1 year, and I think she saw an apple with two cores in it. And I'm just like, wow, because you hear all these words about, you know, acceleration on this. And I'm sort of like, I thought I'd ask a rhetorical question. Because when you have a dream or an encounter, I do love seeing, but I think the dominant thing is how you feel. It's your effect. And so if you have a dream where you see something that's seemingly neutral and you feel amazing about it, well, then that's going to color your dream. But if you see something that's neutral, that's like really, whoa, like this, that's actually what it means, because you're in the spirit and your intuition is picking up what's trying to be communicated. So I say, wow, that's really cool. I said, how did you feel? She goes, no, not good. I was like, I was flummoxed. I was a bit sort of like, oh, I was getting ready to say, oh, you know, sort of like, you know, I want to be in that number, kumbaya. You know, I was getting really excited. And I started to realize that, now she said this 2 to 2.5, I'd say 2 years ago, everything seemed normal. And that was a prophetic word. And my gosh, look what has happened from last January to this January. It's crazy. It's crazy. And so she had this encounter, and I just feel that we're in a place of Isaiah 60. If we do not regularly, I don't want to say every day, because people, they miss a day and they get under condemnation law. But if we don't regularly put God first in our day, we will run out of time. We will run out of time. But when we put God first and we start to build in Him regularly, you're going to have more time than you can ever wonder. That is the juxtaposition of Isaiah 60. Great darkness, but great glory. So when you go, like, you know, the thing about anxiety about time, it's sort of immobilizing, it becomes a self-fulfilling fear prophecy. But if you make a decision to regularly sow into God, you have more time than you can handle. Can someone say amen? But when you're in the habit of procrastinating and putting other things first, is it realize it's, we're talking about, the Lord says, as you, I've loved you, receive my love and love one another. And we actually learn to love Him and use the opportunity. So what I want to do is I want to read a really exciting passage of scripture. I want to let the word of God speak. And I find that, why it says where there's no vision, well, it's one of those days I'm walking up and down, I can just tell. It's it says where there's no vision, the people perish, they cast off restraint. I'm very much vision orientated. That's my grace. If I can't see it, then it's sort of like, and so I am very much about vision. Now, once I get a vision, the first thing I say to myself is I get the outcome and then I back engineer it to now. What do I have to do? So the important thing is we fill our vision with God's vision as opposed to watch television, okay? I mean, television is so, I mean, it's always been pretty rubbish, but boy, could you get less rubbish than rubbish? You know, really, like the opiate, just the collective trance around the world. All about product placement. And like, I'm not getting breakthrough. You know, it's not hard, because it's actually designed to trance you out and to sell product and so on and so forth. All the engineering, nice engineering stuff. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the, and they lived happily ever after part of the Bible. Okay. Can we do the, and they lived happily ever after? Because it's important that we know it's a certainty. And so it was done. It was a supernatural, because it's this. Now, I want to, from the outset, today is going to be quite spiritual, quite supernatural. And so you've got all sorts of crazy things happening in the Old Testament and New Testament. And so there's a very, very clear, no matter how difficult something seems, it says very clearly, it is not by might. It is not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It says, by faith, they put whole armies to flight. When we understand the invisible world, and in wisdom and understanding, we partner with God's covenant. We start to move things in that place, and then it affects this place. Can someone say amen? We're not just sort of like getting caught in the ground skirmishes. We need to understand the makeup, the topography, the geography, the protocols, the layout, the mechanics of the invisible world. So this is the passage of scripture we're going to go into, and this is the, and they lived happily ever after. If you can put up Daniel, please. It's not like we've never preached out of this, but let's just say hypothetically, sort of, we're going to see this. We will see God. Okay. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. So he had a difficult, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and they all try to buy time, all the astrologers and the magicians and the sorcerers. Oh, king, that you tell us the dream. He goes, I know you're just buying time. And so he didn't tell anyone the dream. So not only did he have to interpret the dream, you had to know the dream. Who knows that that's a gift? Okay? So God reveals it to Daniel, and then he starts going this amazing, you know, benedictions, you know, quote unquote, and blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and seasons. I love that. He changes times and seasons. So there are things that are seemingly set that he changes. When we grow in understanding, we understand that he's the Lord over time, and he changes times and seasons. But unless we are in wisdom and understanding, it's like everything's set and you can't move it. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Hang on, that's not fair. Giving wisdom to the wise, they're already wise. How come you can't give wisdom to someone who doesn't have it instead of giving wisdom to wise people, make them wiser than the wiseness of the already wising? Because that's how the kingdom is. It's use it or lose it. If you sit around and go, oh, it's not fair like this, the Lord goes, come to me in faith. Life's not fair, neither's grace. Have you worked that out yet? And so it's one of the things that's very clear in the Bible. If you ask, you're going to get generously. You're going to receive liberally. If you believe, it says ask for wisdom. It says he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, for you've given me wisdom and might and now have made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. Now he's talking about the image that Nebuchadnezzar, of all the great dynasties in antiquity or recorded history, sorry. So the image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay. So you have all the dynasties of mankind in history of note within this context, and there was a stone, but it wasn't cut with hands. No man can take credit for it. There was a stone that was cut without hands, and this says it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Now we're just literally going to let the Bible speak. The iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. You know, all the stuff that's not of God that's happening now and in history is going to come to naught. It's going to come to naught. And this is where we have to walk with the eye of faith, because we start to magnify wood, hay, stubble, chaff. You know, this chaff is pretty chaffy. And the Lord says, no, you're not reading the happy ever after, because it says here, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, I shared last week about the mountain where I was with Jeff and Daryl, and we're in the, you know, as you do in the, oh no, I shared that, the interns. we're talking about the Garden of Eden, and then you know, it says the kingdom of God is at hand. It means it's that far away from you. If you think it's a long way away, then it is to you. So a normal is in the last days, I will pour out my spirit and people will have dreams and visions. That's normal. That's not denominational. And that's not even Christian. People all around the world are having dreams. The worst thing that could happen to you, I want you to just join in the dots. Jesus saw all sorts of people of all stations in life, from tax collectors, prostitutes, swindlers, liars, foul mouth fishermen, but he only got really upset at the religious. So the worst thing that could happen to you is become religious, because you're going to turn into an arrogant super dummy, because you think you know something and then you block the way for yourself and others. It's a really big deal. And so I'm like with Daryl, and it's sort of like, and then all of a sudden I'm sort of in heaven, you know? Yeah, how? I don't know. Because my spirit's already seated in heavenly places. And I felt like I was on a planet. I'm just telling you, just anecdotal. I saw this huge mountain and I just knew it was God. And I knew sort of like, I knew that wherever you went, you could always see the mountain. You know? You know the pictures where the eyes follow you around the room? It really is. No. And so, This all the things of man were crushed and destroyed, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And as the toes, we're just Houston, we're about to get weird. We have a problem. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall partly be strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men. Hang on, but hang on. There's something that's not men that's a they that's going to mix with men. So you could talk about seed. Seed means a lot of things, but I would say in this case, we're talking DNA. Okay? Who knows what I'm talking about? So this is happening. So this is not what we're going to park on, but there's a lot. I want you to imagine like the Bible just, it's just very matter of fact. There's just very, very little hyperbole, you know? And then Moses lifted up his staff and the Red Sea parted. I mean, you could write 12,000 hours of movie scripts on that. And it's just so matter of factish. And it's just sort of like, so the Bible is a scientific book. It's a psychological book. It's a supernatural spiritual book. It's a multidimensional book. It's a botanical book. It's so many things. It's an astronomical book, right? It's so many things, but not written in that sort of language. And just says iron mixed with clay. They will try and mix their seed with the seed of man. So Daniel, thousands of years ago, is going, okay, this is weird. I think we're going to see that in our day, to be honest. And again, I don't want to camp down on that. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume these kingdoms and shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and his interpretation is sure. This revelation came through such incredible supernatural means. This is where you belong. You belong in that place where the mountain fills the whole earth. Can someone say amen? It is certain. It is certain. We've just been talking about, we used to sing, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. He is perfect and all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice. And it also says, look to the rock from which you were hewn. Did you know you're made in your image? You're made in his image. You're made in his image. And today we're on a discovery. Today, hopefully, it's in the Holy Ghost, you're going to find out that you're way better than you originally thought you were. Can you imagine, like people go, they're living a lie. If you're not living in Christ, you are living a lie. I'm just saying. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could discover that who you really were in him was way better than you've ever, ever imagined? Who would be up for that, seriously? If he said something to you personally and over you and a whole other paradigm, we'd want to discover that. So we're talking about the certainty of the kingdom of heaven taking over the earth. It's a certainty. He puts up kings, he takes them down. Now, I'm sorry for all the QAnon people. They're in sealed indictments waiting. The generals are ready. Trump's in. Sorry for all the QAnoners. I'm sorry. Ba-bow. Is there's no way the President of the United States is there now unless he puts up kings and takes them down. I found it interesting. Now, you can back engineer this statement. I do believe, I've heard that my Bible college principal said a nation will get the government the church deserves. So I'll tell you what, right now, America, you're going to learn to pray like never before. You're going to learn to worship like never before and undiluted obedience. Because we're coming into Psalm 91 territory. We started teaching that at the beginning of 2019. Psalm 91. So, if we're talking about how's this going to happen, how's this statue, these kingdoms with the feet, legs of iron, feet and iron and clay get struck by the rock, how is that going to happen? We back engineer the happily ever after reality to possible mechanics. Who's interested in the possible mechanics? Because remember, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so those nations, Medo-Persia, Greece, Babylon, you know, Rome, real dynasties, but in the spirit realm, they're represented by a giant statue. So we know that if we can conquer in that invisible realm, then God will move in the time-space world. This is wisdom. Okay, and the supernatural isn't about disassociation. I'm so excited. We're going to see such crazy supernatural manifestation. It's going to go way beyond people falling down in a meeting when they receive prayer and getting up unchanged. I'm excited. It's sort of like, the Lord's excited. We're coming into the Red Sea. This is amazing. And it's sort of like, Lord, you got the words of eternal life. What's it, you know? And so we're going to go into the mechanics of what it could possibly look like, because I want you to get this. Allow the Holy Spirit to tattoo it in your spirit of how we're going to see this stone cut without hands, strike the image, obliterate it, and become a mountain and fill the whole earth. We're going to stay in Daniel. We're building up to something very, very important here. Okay, Daniel 7. Hallelujah. I watched until thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth, from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Here we go. This is the whole context. The court were seated and the books were opened. It's a court scene of the Ancient of Days. It talks about one like the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days. I don't want to drill down on that, but it is a court scene. The Bible is filled with judicial language. Job said, now that I have prepared my case, I know I will be vindicated. Again and again and again, the ancients, the patriarchs, they understood the judicial nature of the supernatural world. Just us wanting something isn't enough. We need wisdom. Can someone say amen? It's a court setting. So then, in contrast to this court setting, we see something happening. And I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. So there was, the book of 1 John talks about the Antichrist, but Antichrists. If we're waiting for, someone just all of a sudden we're going to be sitting there and someone like turns up on CNN and he's going to have a big cape like Dracula. Antichrist. And so it becomes too cliche. It talks about there are many antichrists. So then in the book of Revelation, there's no antichrist. It's about the beast. Now, the book of Revelation is not about the beast. It's about the revelation of Jesus Christ. But here we have the little horn waging war against the saints. Now, either this is happening in our lifetime or it's a principle we still need to adhere to. So there's no wiggle room. It's either happening or it's a principle we need to adhere to. He was waging war against the saints. The word here is to wear down and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made. So what happens is the saints are getting defeated until a judgment. The courts were seated, a judgment. When you back engineer, you go, I better understand, have a working knowledge of the judgments of God. Because we want his judgments. Can someone say amen? We just think it's all condemnation. It is not. And so until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints most high. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. And I just, wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden, and this is just like this whole terraformed earth, and all of a sudden I was sort of like, is this mine? You know, if you have a look at precedent, when God said to Joshua, go in and possess the land, they actually had to possess it, but God had given them into their hands, given the promised land into their hands. We go down to the next passage of scripture. The little horn shall speak arrogant words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and law. Either it's the principle or this is happening in our lifetime. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and half a time. But here we go. The court shall be seated and they will take away. The court shall be seated and they shall take away the little horn's dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole of heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So what we need to know is that this is happening and the only way through are the courts and judgments. So rather than going, that's a bit. So what happens? You've got two bits of information. You've got this stuff that's not pleasant. So the saints will be given into his hand. Either this principle's at play or this is actually happening now. And you go, oh, that's no good. And then we just start, it's like this. And the saints will be persecuted. And as I continue to read the good bits, amen. So I go, for me, I this is what I hear. And the court will be seated and the judgment was made and then it'll be given over to the saints forever and ever to possess. That's how I hear it. And so when we actually come to that place, you just go, this is really confronting. Good. It's better that I confront you than something else. It's better to get a rebuke from a friend, and it's not a rebuke, by the way, than a kiss from an enemy. Because at the moment, nothing is what it seems. It is Trojan horses everywhere. I feel like that Toy Story meme, Trojan horses everywhere. It really is. This is why we need discernment like never before. And so you have, is stuff's going to happen until the court was seated and a judgment was made. You go, wow, yeah, I did try and read that Robert Henderson book. That's cool teaching. Oh, it was too complicated for me. And you start to realize, is it because in the West, we really don't have a grip of the kingdom of heaven. It's gone through a Western filter that is locked into the five senses. We need to receive an upgrade of revelation in the Spirit coming into this season. Can someone say amen? We need to know. We need to know. I was like, I was walking through the valley of shadow of death, legit, and I went before the throne and organically did court's protocol without understanding it. And this is what this is actually not about the courts today. This is actually something a lot more in your face, and it's amazing. But God wants us to know this stuff. Can you please put up the next scripture? This is why we want judgment. We want judgment. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. When we start to engage a spiritual world with wisdom, you start to go, God's judgments are good. Because it's all about Him establishing His kingdom on the earth. The only things that are being removed are those things that are trying to destroy His people, and the things in the people's lives destroying themselves. So judgments are to be desired. We have to get healed of any sense of abandonment or orphan spirit, because what you fear will come upon you. We need to just get, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The world is changing so quick and the church needs a revelatory upgrade. It's really happening. The sophistication around all this mass psyops, all the things that are happening. You've got this inauguration, for goodness sakes. It was virtual. There was no one there. Who watched it? Who watched some of it? Wow. Okay. Okay. So for some of you, we're going to assume you're off the email list. We're just going to get the address of your cave. I like caves. So it's so surreal. This is way more surreal than you understand. There is sophisticated things going on, and it has been for some time, especially through media. There's a narrative being peddled that is not the biblical narrative. And so we need to understand the things happening in the spirit world and the courts of heaven. And I'm telling you right now is that you go, oh, so I've got to get Robert Henderson. No, we're going to put first things first. This is better than what's actually building up to something very significant. But, you know, one of my functions is I do pray. I would say an intercessor, stand in the gap sort of guy. And yeah, people go like this. They go, do you want to be an intercessor? And you see intercessors so beaten up, so miserable. Sort of like in the spirit of a black eye and they're just dragging their feet. Do you want to join our prayer group? No. Oh, and I bound this demon. You know, some of you guys just get in your car, go to work, and you sort of like might feel a bit flat at the end of the day or whatever. Some of these intercessors, they got to fight five principalities before they get the Weet-Bix. And I'm not down for that. You know? It's like your kids come out for breakfast and you've been fighting invisible bats, you know? It's sort of like, I'm not down for that. Because there's a principle of what you focus on, you get, magnification is massive, it really, really is. And so we need to understand how heaven works and how to go about this in a kingdom manner. Can someone say amen? Dang. It's not encouraging. Just we'll wait to the happily ever after. Okay. Come on, Aussie, come on, come on. Can we put on Revelation 19? Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. So once John, pretty amazing guy, right? You know, he was the Lord's best mate. And he was so freaked out, he starts worshiping the angel. In fact, he worshiped the prophetic encounter. He was overwhelmed. And the angel goes, No. And he says, don't do that. I'm just a fellow servant. Worship Jesus for the testimony. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And as soon as he got the no out of his eyes were open. He saw a white horse. I saw heaven open and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on the white horse is called Faithful and True. Here's the order. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. There is no warfare unless there are judgments. So we need to understand how we can get judgments for us, for our families. Can someone say amen? Protection, how to access Psalm 91. And then when you get the judgments, you wage war. You're not beating devils between toast and Weet-Bix. You're actually going, judgments, yes, they're to be desired more than gold. Yes, much fine gold, but sweeter than honeycomb. And we interpret it through a fire and brimstone a paradigm. It's incorrect. Did you know that in the kingdom, in the old covenant, is that judgment was part of stewarding and dispensing kingdom rule? That's what Solomon did. That's what David did. They judged. The high priest, they judged. And it's a good thing because you got Solomon, and the reason why he wanted discernment so he could judge between God's people. And it's not fire and brimstone. See, the wisdom of God is to exalt his plan, his purposes, the meta-narrative scroll, and through that land judgments. We got this. I do understand this, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I know you're for me, and that's wonderful. But more to the point, are we for him? Are we for him? Because going forward, we need to know Psalm 91 like never before. Okay, so this is really interesting. So this is actually the starting point. All I've done is built a case, and we're going to be talking about the coolest things, completely the coolest things in the coming weeks. It's so amazing. But now we're going to read about something that God says about you. It's not future. It's not in some new millennium. It's not in eternity. It's a past tense reality. You know, it says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already past tense blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, in that sense, in Hebrews 4, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. It says, mix the hearing of the word with faith. Today, enter into his rest. Today, whilst today is still today. That's the spirit realm. Enter into God's rest, because he entered into his rest from his works, from the foundation of the earth. So we need to know how to do this, okay? So God, this is a statement that God says about you. It's not about me, it's about us. If you could please put it up, please. It's Revelation. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Here we go. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Yep. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God has made us kings and priests. This is not fivefold ministry. This is the priesthood of all believers. There's a little book, and it's a cool book. It's called Kings and Priests, and it's saying, if you're in the ministry, you're a priest, and if you're a businessman, you're a king. That is just like, but there. This is so much more pervasive than that. You go, well, that's nice. This is my conviction. You know what? This is not new. And what happens is that God has brought us to a place as a church where we can grasp this. This is our key to manifesting kingdom glory and overcoming everything the enemy wants to throw at us. This is the key. It's not sort of like, because for many it's still an abstraction. But what if, like, so this is the new covenant? No, this was God's always plan. It was always his intention to overtake the world through kings and priests. Well, have you got proof of that? I'm glad you asked in your heart. Okay, let's go back to Exodus. I think it's Exodus. There we go, 19. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, "You shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I totally kicked their butt. And how I bore you on eagle's wings." Go back. Eagle's wings. And so look at this. This is grace. Grace. God brought you to himself on eagle's wings. Brought you to him. Yep. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice," this is what God's telling Moses to tell the people, "if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So God says, he goes to them, he says, "Moses, this is what I'm going to tell you. Go down and tell them that I brought them all to myself. It wasn't their own effort or doing. They just obeyed through the Passover lamb, went through the Red Sea. I brought them to myself. Now they will be." Jesus says to John, John says prophetically, he has made us kings and priests. Way back in Exodus, it says a kingdom of priests. And guess what they said? They said, "No, we don't want to do it." This is what they said: "Moses, you be the priest and get the rules, bring them to us and we can obey them. But we don't want, basically, we do not want intimacy with God. It's scary. We don't want intimacy. We want benefits, but we want the lower level covenant that will eventually lead to slavery," because they were slaves. God invited them to engage on a similar level covenant to Abraham. Abraham lied, partial obedience. You know, "I will, Abraham, do this." "Yeah, I will later." And the grace of God was on him. He lied about his wife a couple of times, and all of that, you know, Abimelech and Pharaoh's household. God fought on Abraham's behalf, and he said to Israel, "I want you to come into this covenant." And they said, "No, we don't want it. We don't want intimacy. We don't want to be priests. Moses can do that job. We'll just receive it." God's people refused intimacy. The conditions were a kingdom of priests. But no, that will cost us. We will probably go into amazing glory, but we want our own stuff, do our own thing. And we now know the history of Israel, how that played out. This was God's offer. They refused it. They went under an inferior covenant where God was bound by his word to punish all disobedience, not just of Israel, but Israel's enemies. So God back then says, "I want a kingdom of priests," and mankind said no. But we know better because we're the church and we have all revelation. It's the same story. It's that I want to go to heaven, I will come to church, I might tithe or do something like that. But less intimacy stuff, like, you mean every day? You mean like experientially? Can't I just go to a couple of conferences and get filled my head with knowledge? Can't I just... It's always at the end of a sentence, isn't it? The Lord just, he said, they need it lightened up a bit. All right, so, everyone saw it. Can someone say amen? Okay. So, what we have, I'm convinced, the highest calling and identity that you carry is sonship. You can't unsun yourself. You are born again into the household of God. You are born again. You receive things through an inheritance. You can't earn them. Yes, there are testings, but you still don't earn them. You are a son and a daughter of the King. You're secure. And we have to, there's a place of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Absolutely. But you are a son. Nothing can snatch you out of the Lord's hand. I believe second, and what's happened is it's all been about the fivefold, the apostles, prophets, pastors. Do you know what? They're trainers. The next highest thing is kings and priests. This is for everyone who say yes to Jesus and are born again of the Spirit of God. And yet it is such an unexplored area. And you go, why did we learn this before? Because I'll show you next week. Because people aren't ready to receive it. Because I'll tell you what right now, he is the King of Kings. And he's our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and we're priests unto our God. So we're going to explore what that looks like, because I'll tell you what right now, it's going to kick the devil's butt so badly, because we're not going to be like this spiritual warfare. There's a principality. We should be from there looking, look at those ants. But we can't unless we understand heaven's protocols. And so this is long overdue. This does not replace fivefold. We're always going to need fivefold until, there is a use by date, until to everyone comes to maturity. So what we got is we're going to first go in, says from the perspective of the kingdom of priests, we're going to learn about the priest that you already are without realizing it. That you're already a priest. And we're going to mix it with understanding, and then we're going to activate it over the coming weeks. But you are already a priest. You don't become a priest, you are a priest. It says, hey, he has made us kings and priests. I've never thought of it like that. Well, then it hasn't activated, has it? Because when we preach something and it goes out there and you can engage, you go, you mean I'm a priest? Oh yeah, it's a big deal. How do I access the throne and the power of God? Priesthood. How do I unlock my scroll? Priesthood. It's completely there. We preached on it in part at the prophetic summit in September, I think it was. But I'll tell you what, you're going to get so excited because this priesthood stuff is so central to kingdom manifestation. And you go, but it said that the little horn was prevailing until the court was seated and the judgment was set. I'm glad you asked that too. So we have here during rebuilding, because at the moment, what we got to do, what I believe we have to contend for, is that churches stay open in South Australia so we can see the strengthening of the tabernacle of David. Angels ascending and descending. That's really what we're on about, because out of that place of priesthood, that's where you see power and glory. Okay? You know, we've had, just stupid things like witches visit us and stupid stuff. Okay? What happens, I guarantee if they're a genuine seer, they're just going to see a wall of light and terrify them. Seriously, the amount of times we have dead birds chucked on the, you know, it's like a flipping kindy kid throwing Play-Doh at you. Please, come on. And we have to give ourselves over to this, because why is a priesthood so amazing? It's because it connects heaven and earth. Because the fivefold's become earthbound, very earthbound. Whereas what we've got to release you into your heavenly calling, the higher calling. And do you think the day we're living in is a good time to discover that? Who thinks that's a good time? Because this is where we're going. I'll give you a quick tidbit, seriously, quick one. The Levitical priesthood is null and void. It's been done away, but it points to something greater. It's the Melchizedek priesthood. The Lord has sworn he will not relent. You're a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is our faithful high priest, and we are priests unto our God. And we will tap into crazy eternal realities. And you go, but you've talked before about judgments. You talked about just quickly, no matter what's happening in the world, it's all really easy for God. Our job is to get on his page. Everything's easy for him. God's not up there biting his nails. It's easy. And yet we have to get on the same page as him. We have to actually understand, lean into his ways. So you go, well, what's courts and judgments got to do with priesthood? If we can put Zechariah up, Zechariah was the priest when they were rebuilding the temple. Then the angel of the Lord rebuked or admonished with a bit. An admonish is a rebuke and encouragement at the same time. It's called a blessed rocket. Put where the sun doesn't shine, okay? It's true. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, hallelujah, hallelujah, saying, yes, go, next one. Thus says the Lord, Joshua, the high priest, if you walk in my ways and if you keep my command, if you keep my word, then you shall also judge my house. This is the high priest. I will likewise give you charge over my courts. I will give you places to walk amongst those who stand here. Hey, we weren't talking Peter, Paul and Mary. We're talking elders, cherubim. And you start to see the Lord says, if you connect to wisdom and obey me, I will give you charge over my courts. This is not fivefold. This is whoever believes. In this season, we have to train up a kingdom of priests. In this season, because only a small percentage of the body are actually fivefold. Only, and everyone thinks the ultimate is fivefold. You've got to be kidding me. The success of fivefold is people doing the stuff. It's not preaching or entertaining or just imparting or ministering. We have to see a kingdom of priests raised up. So all of a sudden you have here, not only will you go to courts, God will give you charge over his courts, because we're talking the priesthood in Christ is far superior to the high priests in the Old Testament. Can someone say amen? And we have to understand how powerful and how amazing it is. I believe we're called in this season to discover what Psalm 91 is. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Complete protection and preservation. And I'll tell you what, this is really, really good. This is just being real, okay? You're secure in your salvation. You believe in Jesus, you're secure. But we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. There's so much presumption based on minimal effort. How often have we personally wrestled with the Lord? How often have we put it all on the line? Because I tell you what, as Westerners, it's actually not your fault completely, or my fault. We are addicted to comfort and feelings, and they deceive us. We have to be obsessed with the will of God. We have to be obsessed with his counsel and his ways. Everything else is passing away. If I don't say that, is that I'm ripping you off. I'm ripping you off. And this is what this is God's going to show us how to function as priesthood. I tell you what, it's the access to the glory. So you see, what happens is it's not like, oh, I'll become a... No, you're already a priest. You only start to function in what God says you already are. And not just that, you're a king and a priest. You get to rule and reign. This is awesome. Can someone say amen? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. Not 5 to 9. Bright eyes. Okay, hang on. Oh dear. Is someone too afraid to reach down? Let's have an altar call. Let's just close our eyes before the Lord. Okay. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Look at this. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. This is everyone. You say yes to Jesus, this is you. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. So no more blood of goats and bulls. No bull. Done. We're going to learn what it is to offer up spiritual sacrifices that move the courts of heaven, that move the hand of God, the armies of heaven. Who wants to see the armies of heaven release over their life? So you are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Yep. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. So you're a royal priesthood, not just a priesthood. There was a combination. Melchizedek was a king and a priest. And it says you are a royal priesthood. This is something you go, well, I really need to know this. Yeah, that's why we're talking about it. This is mind-blowing. It says that a special people that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We're going to land the plane. This is so exciting because I believe with where we're at in the world is that God wants to reveal the priesthood of all believers. That doesn't mean just do what you want to do, be what you want to be, yeah. Laissez-faire government or whatever. It's not high control governing in of a church either. It is releasing people in the secret place regularly to have heavenly throne room encounters from which once they become acquainted to, they can navigate protocol in wisdom. Now, I want to finish with a dream. This is why this is an appointed time. is that Belinda had a dream a week or so ago, and we're trying to get the meaning of it because there's a fair bit involved, but it is a fair bit going on. Let's just say this. There was darkness involving multiple generations. Now, in the dream, all through the dream, she was with someone else, and in the dream of this darkness, she was this one prevailing thought all the time. I've got to get to Rod Laver Arena. I've got to get to Rod Laver Arena. Who knows what Rod Laver Arena is in the natural? Okay, it's where they play tennis. It's the concerts. They used to call it Flinders Park. Who's ever been there, by the way? Who's ever been there? Yes, yeah, not a bad little setup. And so we're talking about all this stuff, and there was stuff involving apostles and prophets in great darkness. And she goes, I've got to get to Rod Laver Arena. Well, you know what? What's fascinating is you got the name Rod, which means scepter and rule, you know, not just, we're talking about you should rule the nations with a rod laver of iron. You should rule the nations with a rod of iron. Kings have a scepter, they rule. That's their base of authority, the scepter. So rod laver, who knows what a laver is? A laver is a bronze bowl of water that before the priest can go and minister as unto the Lord, minister to the Lord, before they go in, firstly the tabernacle and then the temple, well, tabernacle and then David's tabernacle and then the temple of Solomon, they had to go wash in the laver. And guess what washing in the laver looks like? It looks like being washed with the water of the word. What have we been talking about for months and months? Being washed with the water of the word. Because what happens is that the Lord's saying now people are ready to receive this because they've been washing themselves with the water of the word. Isn't that amazing? So you've got Rod Laver Arena. So what happens, this is what's really cool. Through understanding the priesthood, we access his presence, and from his presence, we rule and reign with him. If Joshua under the old covenant can command the universe to stop, Moses can part the Red Sea, all sorts of crazy stuff, how much more under the new covenant? This is actually, I think we're going to see an explosion of glory. Can someone say amen? But we need, I'm not going to tell you the how, why and all that. Please cultivate worship at home every day and not as a lead into prayer, just worship the Lord, put something on and start to love him, because by the time we start to launch next week, so this week there's no Tuesday night meeting, we start all that up in February, but we are going to be in this season training people to be kings and priests. And I'll tell you what, no leader in the natural trumps, no pun intended, kings and priests of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is amazing, where we start being able to come into a place of speak to the mountain and it moves. But I want you initially to get so excited about that you are a priest unto the Lord. You already are. You not will be, you already are. And to regularly come before the Lord and praise him and worship him. Because what happens, angels ascend and descend. You get set free, your eyes are open. I'll tell you what right now, just my own personal experience, I've never felt the heavens more open than I have this last 18 months. Never in my life. If you start to set your face to worship the Lord, but please make it a priority. Because at the moment, we're trading in the supernatural, the invisible world. Can someone say amen? You guys okay? I know that's a zip file. I would have loved to have spread that. I mean, if I was doing a conference and selling books, I could have fit that into 5 messages. We just don't have that long. We don't have that long. This year, we need to see where we live as a light and a beacon and salt. So whatever trends are happening in the world doesn't happen here. And I'll tell you what, you and God are a majority. Can someone say amen? I'm excited about this because I tell you what, for years people go, oh, I really want to see the supernatural. Oh, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. We're going to have communion now. Do we have any spares? Oh, thanks. Can we have some pads, please? Tell you what, right now, I just want to just kill this idea first. I do not believe we're in some special age of Melchizedek. I don't believe that the fivefold ministry has been superseded. God's still building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. This is added to that. They work together. It's not an either or. But you know what's really interesting? The first time we read of communion in the Bible is in Genesis, when Melchizedek has communion with Abram. There's something so amazing. Communion is going to bring so much more power. Did you know that in the wilderness there's none feeble because of the manna? And because it represented, Jesus was the bread that came down from heaven. It was Jesus. What have you got in your hands? Who's excited about your youth being renewed like the eagles? Come on. I'll tell you what, you start to discover, but I won't give you any more data points, then please cultivate worship regularly, if not every day. Daniel was 3 times a day, David was 7 times a day. Start to cultivate it and you'll start to see angels ascend and descend, because this stuff is real, this is really happening. If you think, you go, well, the problem is that if it doesn't go through our knowledge in our brain, we're not sure it's happening. Trust me, way more is happening than it's going through your brain. Like it's quick. Okay, he will intend to change times and law. All right, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your broken body. I thank you for people who are utterly dependent on you, utterly dependent. We thank you that the priests, the house of Levi or Levi, the house of the priests, the name means joined. Lord, we are joined to you. Those who are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him. And I just thank you right now. I thank you over this place. I see a kingdom of priests. I see a kingdom of priests. I see kings and priests. And I thank you that you are going to manifest. You're going to manifest on the earth through the order of Melchizedek. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We're going to see supernatural life flow into people's bodies. We're going to see rivers flowing in the desert. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for whole families coming to Christ. We thank you for the cloud of God. We thank you. It says, who are these who fly like a cloud, like doves to their windows? I thank you that the priesthood connects us to all sorts of heavenly realities, because you say, seek those things that are above, not the things of the earth, for your life is hidden in Christ. Lord, thank you for this communion. We just thank you for manna from heaven, a quickening power. We thank you. We discern there's life in the broken body and there's cleansing and forgiveness in the shed blood. Bless it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. In the coming weeks, when we start to unlock some things, some of you will experience the presence of God in your life like you would never have in your whole life. Who's excited? Seriously. You're not going to be kings and priests or a kingdom and priests. You already are, just like you're already in Christ. But I'll just say this as homework, the sort of homework that you won't stop doing until you see him face to face, and then you'll keep doing it. Is start to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness all the time, all the time. Corporate worship got shut down around the world last March. I'll tell you what, we're going to believe that we're going to see open heavens over Adelaide, South Australia. The angels ascending and descending, and then we will see the roar of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the whelp of the lion, the roar of the lion, and the scepter that which will not depart from Judah manifest through the priesthood. I'm believing for that. Can you feel that just start to manifest now? I'll tell you what right now is that the Lord does not call you Christians. That is a Western construct. You're not a Christian. There's no such thing. That was a byword they come up in Antioch. You're a child of God. And you were elected to come to Him, and because you're born into that priesthood, you're born into this priesthood. Now, Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for a spirit of pre-activation, if there's such a thing, that people start to understand they're already a priest to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into this wonderful light. I thank You right now. You call Your people to proclaim Your praises. And I thank You that the praises of the priests most high, the praises of God's priesthood scatters whole armies of demons. We thank You that the praises of the saints rips the heavens open. We thank You that the praises of the saints brings an anointing and a glory that destroys every foul yoke, destroys every ley line, every power source, every principality. We thank You because, God, You are enthroned on the praises of Your people. Lord, I just thank You. Bless everyone here. We thank You for this exciting journey of this supernatural priesthood. In Jesus' name, amen.